Thank you for being here tonight. Amen. I promise not to preach to those that are not here. Amen. I'm just going to feed who comes. Praise God. If you'll turn with me tonight, we're going to the book of the second, book of Acts chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. There are a multitude of books written on the subject of church growth. There are seminars that you could attend until you were broke and weary. But I'm telling you tonight that the apostolic pattern will work. Everybody say work. It will work, and it is work. But it will work. There is no shortcut to building a church for Jesus Christ. We can say, oh, but brother so-and-so, man, they're doing great. They grew to 1,000 in 2 years. Yeah, but how did they do it? How many people did they genuinely win to Jesus Christ from sin? And how many just joined because they had a good church program? We are not called to be keepers of the aquarium, that is, just changing fish from tank to tank, church to church. But he said, be fishers of men. Amen. There's a whole lot of churches, what we call mega churches. They're not soul-winning churches by and large. They just have a good program. Folks, there's a lot of folks in Athens, Texas that need Jesus Christ. I said there's a lot of people here that need the Lord desperately. And I cannot help but believe that there are people that pray every night, God, if you're there, would you help me? If somehow the church can connect with those people, then we can have apostolic revival. So I want to talk to you tonight about the apostolic blueprint for church growth. How did they do it? How did they do it? And if it worked for them, I believe it'll work for us. Because the Bible has principles, not just methods. Amen. Methods change. Principles are always the same. God bless you, and you may be seated. Thank you for standing for the word of the Lord tonight. In the second chapter tonight, let me note a few things as we begin. Five things happen in the second chapter of the book of Acts. There are five essential characteristics of an apostolic church. What is an apostolic church? It's a church that patterns itself of the church at Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, that received the apostolic experience. Amen. That's what we want to be, is an apostolic church. Praise God. We want to be like that church, because that was the church that Jesus Christ founded on the day of Pentecost. First of all, we know that they experienced the apostolic experience. Amen. In the fourth verse, it says, they were all, everybody say all. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There are those today that would tell you that the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, is just for the apostles. I don't think so. There were 120 there that day. And they were not all apostles. There were some women there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. There were other disciples there, besides just the 12. Amen. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And they spake with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Hallelujah. That's the apostolic experience. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, that's what sets this church apart from just every other denomination in the world today. Praise God. Somebody said, what denomination are you? We're not a denomination. To be a denomination, you have to denominate from something. We didn't denominate. We're in the root. Amen. This is as authentic as it gets. Amen. I'm grateful that I'm in a church that still preaches the apostolic plan of salvation and doesn't explain it away. Praise God. Well, why don't more churches have this? Because they don't believe it. That's why. If they would believe it, they could receive it. Praise God. But because they doubt it, they got to do without it. Amen. Praise God. But God would love to fill every soul with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God would love to fill every church member with the Holy Ghost. He doesn't care what name's on the door outside. If they would be receptive and believe, He would baptize every church member with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, regardless of what the name says on the outside, on the sign. Amen. Praise God. God is no respecter of persons. He wants to fill everybody with this apostolic experience. Amen. And then we find in this chapter the apostles' doctrine. In Peter's sermon, he talks about the humanity of Jesus Christ. Then he talks about, in verse 36, the deity of Jesus Christ. In verse 26 to 36, he talks about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 37 to 39, he talks about the plan of salvation. In verse number 40, he talks about separation from the world, which is holiness. That's the apostles' doctrine. You know what we preach today? We still preach the humanity of Jesus Christ. God was manifest in flesh. Amen. We still preach the deity of Jesus Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hallelujah. Amen. We still preach the apostolic experience. I believe that the Scripture says that we should repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues. And we still believe that. We still act on that. And then after that, I believe we should separate from the world and live a life of holiness unto the Lord. Praise God. That's what the apostles preached on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible says, we read it in verse number 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And that's the only doctrine we find in the preaching of the apostles there. Amen. Praise God. And we're still preaching that apostolic message. And we find apostolic unity and fellowship. Amen. I think unity is important. It's essential. It's essential. Amen. Jesus said, and praying in the garden before He went to Calvary, He said, I pray that they may be one as we are one. God wants us not to be divided. He wants us to be united. Amen. One of the greatest tools of Satan is to try to divide the body of Christ. Amen. He's tried every kind of tactic and tool that he can find to do that. And if he can do it, then he can stop the church. Amen. This old ship of Zion has weathered every storm. And the only water that's going to bother it is the water that gets on the inside. The only danger that will ever sink the church is what gets inside the church. The world can never destroy the church. The devil will never destroy the church. The only thing that will ever hinder the church is what we allow to get inside of it. But if we allow divisions and schisms to get inside the church, then that can destroy our effectiveness. But if we unite, amen, unite our prayers, unite our efforts, unite our hearts and our spirit. Amen. There's nothing that can stop this church. Amen. And the Bible says they continued in fellowship. Praise God. Amen. I need you and you need me and we need one another. Nobody's going to get to heaven all by themselves. Praise God. You can't just get this and go off in a monastery somewhere so that you don't ever have to face any temptation. Hey, the devil gets in monasteries just like he gets in anything else. Amen. Praise God. Amen. The Lord didn't say, get the Holy Ghost and go off to a cave somewhere and wait for me to come. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Our responsibility is not to separate to the point. Now, we separate from the world as far as our morality and as far as our righteousness. Amen. But we don't separate from the world as far as being a witness for Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. Do you believe God can really keep people in this day and hour? Do you think people can still live for God in this world? You know what I believe? I believe young people can live for Jesus Christ in their schools. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. He said, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. When a young person makes up their mind, I'm going to live for God. If it hair lips the devil, hang on, honey. He's going to have to get behind you. And you're going to start having an influence. And you're going to start having an impact. And you may start a revival in the cafeteria or in the gymnasium or in the classroom. Amen. When you decide that I'm going to take a stand for Jesus Christ. And I'm going to live the Christian life. And I'm going to be an example. Amen. I'm not going to give in or cave in or give up or make excuses and talk about how hard it is. But I'm going to live for God. Amen. Praise God. I know it's different than when I was in high school, but guess what? There were still devils in high school then. There were drugs in high school then. There was sexual temptations in high school then. Amen. There was marijuana and all the rest of it in high school then. There were unbelievers in high school then. There was rock music in the high school then. There were people that laughed at your example like they laugh today. That wasn't any different as far as all of those things. It was the same way. When I walked in, pardon me for a personal example here today, but when I walked into PE in long handled britches and just long britches instead of shorts, they looked at me like I fell out of another planet somewhere. What in the world are you doing? Why didn't you dress out? Because I told my principal and I told my coach I don't wear shorts. And he looked at me like I was some kind of a foreign creature. Amen. But you know what? Went ahead and did it anyway. And a whole lot of people asked me, why do you do that? And I told them. Praise God. And then we had swimming class. You ever tried to swim with those old heavy painter's britches on? Amen. But you can do it. Amen. Praise God. Hey, I'm just saying you can live for God if you make up your mind to live for God. It doesn't matter how many devils come your way. It doesn't matter what kind of temptation comes your way. It doesn't matter how much sin there is in the world. Sin has never destroyed the church. He said, my grace is sufficient. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Hey, you can live for God if you want to live for God. Make up your mind. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to live for Him. Hallelujah. We find apostolic prayer and apostolic praise. Amen. Hey, you need to live for God on your job too. Amen. Praise God. Adults need to live for God, not just young people. I mean, we really need to live for God. You know, one of the problems adults struggle with is attitudes. Could I just go ahead and preach a little bit tonight? Thank you, because I'm going to. Amen. We get hard on the young folks sometimes, but you know what? We have our own little things. Like getting our priorities mixed up. And putting other things before God. Amen. Amen. Yes, we do. And we excuse ourselves sometimes because, you know, we as we grow older, we grow colder. And we want to leave worship up to others sometimes because I'm tired. Amen. But this is the refreshing wherewith the weary are caused to rest. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost is. Amen. Praise God. There's not any place to retire in this kingdom. I understand Brother Kilgore. You know, he's in his 80s now. And he was at the men's conference. And, of course, everybody running around. Some of them jumping and running around, you know, like speedsters and all of that. And he said, and he was just enjoying it. He said, I still shout. He said, but I just do it with my hands. Amen. Praise God. If that's all you can do, just do it with your hands. Praise God. Amen. What was it, the old preacher Billy Sunday? He said, as long as I got a foot, I'm going to kick the devil. He said, as long as I got a fist, I'm going to hit the devil. He said, as long as I got teeth, I'm going to bite the devil. And he said, if I don't have a foot to kick him, and I don't have a hand to hit him, and I don't have teeth to bite him, I'll gum him to death. Amen. Just make up your mind that you're going to live for God regardless of what it takes. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Look for reasons, not for excuses. Hallelujah. Amen. So they were apostolic in prayer and apostolic in praise. Amen. You know, if you would have been in the apostolic age, one of the most powerful nights would have been prayer meeting night. Amen. Thank all three of you. Amen. Prayer meeting would have been just as powerful as anything. As a matter of fact, Timothy says, first of all, prayer. First of all, prayer. Amen. Praise God. It's amazing to me how prayer meetings just dwindle. It's amazing to me how hard it is to get folks to prayer meeting. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's amazing how that is. We love to talk about prayer. Amen. Brother Ferguson's preaching my sermon, but that's the truth. We like to talk about it. We like to talk about how important it is. We like to talk about how essential it is. We're just a little short on getting it done. Amen. Praise God. But hey, prayer is still essential in the apostolic church. Amen. You want a powerful church? Then make a praying church. Praise God. If you want a powerful church, got to have a praying church. Want a powerful church? Got to have a praying church. Second thing is praise. Now let me say this tonight. Praise without prayer doesn't make a strong church. There are churches that love to praise but don't like to pray. I'm going to get to prayer in a minute and I'm going to tell you why. Amen. But there's a lot of folks that say, oh, they're good at praising God, but they're not good at praying to God. Amen. Praise God. So prayer is still essential for an apostolic church. And then, verse number 43, they had apostolic miracles. Woo! And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. You know what? You say, we won't have any apostles today. That may be true, but I think we still ought to have signs and wonders and miracles. Amen. And I believe with the prayer that the apostles prayed, amen, and the praise that they praised and the lifestyle that they lived, I believe we can still see those things come to pass. Amen. Praise God. I don't believe that age is past. Amen. Praise God. You know how it passes and when people accept that it's past. A lot of scholars will tell you, oh, that was just for the apostolic age. It's not for us today. Well, it's not for us today if we don't believe it. Amen. But if we believe it, praise God, and then it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, I want you to know it's still happening today. There are still folks receiving miracles all around the world. Amen. Praise God. All right. Let me quickly get on to the apostolic principles. First of all, as I said, Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, first of all, prayer. Prayer begins as an attitude and becomes a habit. Amen. We should always be in an attitude of prayer. You know what I'm talking about when I say attitude of prayer? The Bible talks about pray without ceasing. That's an attitude of prayer. It's just simply having a communication always open to Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Just think on, keep your mind fixed on Him. Keep your heart fixed on the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Is that possible? Amen. Amen. Can you always have your mind on Him and He's just the prayer away? Amen. Praise God. You're not caught up with a lot of other stuff. You don't have a lot of other stuff on your mind. You just in an attitude of prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I used to be around my old pastor and I wondered what in the world was going on. He'd just be sitting there driving down the road and he'd say, hallelujah. Amen. He'd drive a little bit further and just nothing going on and say, praise the Lord. It was just an attitude of prayer. His heart, his mind was fixed on the Lord. Amen. Praise God. That's an attitude of prayer. And then there's the habit of praying. Amen. You know, you can create the habit of praying just as easy as you create the habit of not praying. Amen. It's a habit. Good habits and bad habits. You know how to break a bad habit? Drop it. It'll break if you drop it. Amen. Praise God. And you create a new habit just by doing it. That's how things become a habit. You know how you get in the habit of getting to church late? Because you just keep doing it. Boy, I snuck up on you that time. You create a habit of getting to church early? You just get in the habit of doing it. Amen. Praise God. You just get in the habit of doing it. Amen. You just start getting ready earlier. Praise God. You just make up your mind, I'm going to be there on time. And it works. If we create habits, somebody said you make your habits, and then your habits make you. We are all really made up of habits. Whatever our habits are, that's what makes us. Amen. Praise God. And so prayer then becomes a habit. Prayer should be specific. Amen. We should pray for opportunities. And we should pray for abilities. God, give us opportunities to do things for you. And give us the ability to do things for you. Amen. The great missionary prayed this prayer. He said, dare great things for God. Or and expect great things from God. Amen. You have to challenge Him and you expect Him to step in. And He does. And He does. Amen. Praise God. And so prayer, we pray for opportunity and we pray for ability. Amen. Do you pray for God to help you to be a witness? God, send somebody my way. Help me to be sensitive in the Holy Ghost. And then give me the right opportunity and the right thing to say. Amen. Praise God. Lead me and guide me and help me. Amen. That was the apostolic way. It's specific prayer. Prayer is not overcoming reluctance in God. Amen. Sometimes we say, well, you know, why isn't God answering this prayer? He is. It's just taking a little while. Because prayer conforms your will to the will of God. And sometimes that takes a while. Woo! That's the truth. Sometimes I have my mind made up what God's going to do for me and how God's going to do it. And God has to change all of that because that's not the way He's going to do it. And so God's not answering my prayer. It's because I got my mind made up on the wrong way and the wrong thing. And until He can start changing my mind and conforming my will to His will, that prayer's not going to be answered. Amen. You know, faith is not telling God what to do. I know these bold preachers get up and they say, you got to claim it. Amen. And God's bound by His word. God's got to do it. No, He don't. God is sovereign. God counsels after His own will. He doesn't counsel with your will. He doesn't do it your way. He doesn't do it in your time. You want to set yourself up for disappointment? You start making God think that God has to do something the way you tell Him to do it. You're setting yourself up for failure. Prayer is reconciling your will to the will of God and letting the will of God be formed in you. That's what prayer is, and that's what prayer does. Amen. Prayer is about discerning the will of God and doing the will of God. Prayer is about submission. Everybody say submission. Submission. Prayer is about submitting ourselves to God and His will. Prayer is about getting your priorities in order. Amen. Prayer precedes every adventure in God. Prayer is the first step. Prayer is the first principle. Prayer is essential. Amen. That goes hand in hand with the second thing, and that is planning. Somebody said to plan or to fail to plan is to plan to fail. Amen. Planning is important. Brother Holly used to say, you got to get organized to get out of bed in the morning. You got to decide which foot's going out first. And if you've got the will to set up and get your eyeballs, oh, it takes a little organization to get out of bed in the morning. Yes, it does. It takes organization to do anything. Yes, it does. You can't do anything. I've heard people say, well, I don't believe in organization. Well, you're not going to get anything done without it. You've got to be organized to do anything. Amen. It takes organization to do anything. Jesus planned. But you know what? The first part of His plan was prayer. He chose 12 disciples, but before He chose them, He spent one whole night in prayer. I wonder if we prayed more, if we might be a little more sensitive to what God wants us to do. He was always praying. Amen. We get too busy to pray. Well, and I wonder what it costs us when we do. And let me just say, you know, this is coming back this way too. I'm not just preaching to you. Amen. But we get too busy. We think we've got to do this and we've got to do that. And we have to do this. And the tyranny of time is just pressing upon us. And you don't understand. I understand what you're saying. I live in that same pressure cooker that you live in. But folks, we've got to take time to pray. And in that, we'll find the plan, the will of God, what He wants us to do and how He wants us to do it. So He prayed. He called 12. He trained 12. Isn't it amazing that Jesus spent 3 years, wasted 3 years, just training 12 men? Amen. And then, after He trained them, He just left His whole church in the future, the church in their hands.
Wow.
There's a legend that says that when Jesus got to heaven, the angel said, what did you do with your church? He said, I left it in the hands of 12 men that I trained and commissioned and sent. And the angel said, but what if they don't do what you want them to do? He said, I have no other plan. That's it. And you know what? It worked. I said it worked. Hallelujah. In one generation, they reached their world. Praise God. My, what power was in that commission and that sending. Amen. The apostles were organized. Now, they didn't have church buildings, but they were organized. Yes, they were. They decided who was going where and who was doing what. Amen. I don't know what kind of services they had back then. I don't know if they had three songs and a testimony service, take up the offering, preach, and go home. I don't know what kind of order they had, but they had an order of some kind. Amen. We know that they investigated. Something needed investigating. The apostles either went or sent someone to investigate anything going on that was questionable. We know that they reported to one another. We know that they recommended people. We know that they appointed people. They appointed pastors. They appointed leaders. They appointed missionaries. Yes, they did. They appointed deacons. They appointed people. That's in the scripture. We know that they held conferences and discussed situations. We know that they held meetings, large and small. So they were a planning group. They organized. And as a structure became necessary, they did it. Amen. Praise God. I think that we really only need as much structure as we need. You know, I look at some of these books telling you how to organize things, and my goodness, if you organized a small church the way they want you to organize a big church, you'd spend all your time reading reports and you know, hey, you only need as much structure as you need, but you need structure. And as you grow, you need more structure. I read years ago, and I've always thought it was true. You know how to make a small church a big church? Act like a big church. Pray like a big church. Worship like a big church. Preach like a big church. Amen. Do everything like you're big. Don't do it like you're small. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, just go ahead and act big. Amen. I remember the boys got together and they said, we got a boys club. They decided to make some rules. And one little boy said, the first rule is don't nobody act too big. That's a good rule. And then somebody said, all right, no, don't anybody act too small. And they said, that's a good rule. And the third guy said, everybody act just right. And that's a good rule. If we could all act just right, we'd have it, wouldn't we? Amen. Let's act just right. Make that a goal. Amen. The Apostle Paul and his missionary work, what did he do first? Pray. And then he planned. He taught. He preached. He sent others out and he went himself. Amen. And so that was the apostolic pattern. They did plan. And planning is important. It is important. That's why we have meetings, and that's why we sit down and try to discuss things and talk about things, because meetings are important. And then there has to be persistence. Everybody say persistence. You got to just stick with it. James chapter 5 verse 7. Be patient therefore, brethren. Everybody say be patient. Oh, that's hard, but let's do it. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, or the farmer, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Amen. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. He likens being persistent to a farmer. Farmer has to have patience. He plants the seed in one season. Amen. He cultivates. But he's dependent on God to send the rain. He's dependent on God to get the seed out of the ground. There's no greater gambler in the world than a farmer. That he takes today's bread and puts it in the ground, believing that there's going to be a harvest. Amen. But God, in all through his word, uses that example. Amen. You got to plant seed and you got to be patient. Everybody wants the church to grow overnight, but it's not going to grow overnight. But it will grow. If we follow the principles, if we plant the seed, if we cultivate the seed, amen. If we follow the pattern, it will grow. And as it grows and it gets it, it becomes a mighty force as it begins to gain momentum. It goes on. It gets stronger. It grows more. Starts with ones and twos and fives and tens and 25s and hundreds and then it just begins to grow. That's the way it did in apostolic times. That's the way it does today. But we have to be persistent. We have to be persistent. We can't give up. You got to hang on. You got to persevere. Did the early church do that? Did they have any troubles? Did they run into any obstacles? Amen. The first people that persecuted them were their own brethren, the Jews. And then later on, the Romans and the Gentiles. They ran into troubles, folks, but they were persistent. They just kept right on going. They didn't give up. They didn't quit. They didn't stop. Nothing stopped them. Amen. I have always appreciated these words that Paul wrote. Now, I'd like to remind you tonight, when Paul wrote this, he was in a prison cell awaiting the man to come with the sword in his hand that would behead him. He closes out 2 Timothy talking about his departure from this world. Paul knew what it was like to be persistent. He knew what it was like to go through hard times. Yes, he did. But listen to what he wrote to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Amen. Everybody say, endure hardness. When it gets tough, the tough get going. Amen. Just make up your mind. It's tough, but God's going to help me to be tougher. Amen. I'm just going to hang in there. I'm going to stick with it. And we're going to see some great things happen. Verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet he's not crowned except he strive lawfully. So you see here he's talking about somebody that's running a race. Athletes have to be disciplined, have to be persistent. It's not easy. You just keep going on. You push yourself. You learn how to deprive yourself of things that you might like because you have a goal in mind. Amen. And then he said, the husbandman that laboreth must be for first partaker of the fruit. So he likens it again to the farmer. You just got to be. You got to be persistent. Amen. Praise God. And then in verse number 15, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So he likens this to a worker. Got to be persistent. Got to be persistent. You can't stop. Can't give up. Can't give in. Got to keep going. Amen. Another of the essentials of the apostolic church was preaching and teaching. Amen. Yes, it was. They defined that in Acts chapter 6 and 4. They said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Amen. God, one of the great tricks of the devil is to get us involved in too much stuff. Boy, we live in that day, don't we? Amen. Get ourselves involved in too much stuff until it just smothers our spiritual life. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So when things need doing at the church, who does it? Woo! Hallelujah. Whose church is this anyway? Boy, that was sneaky, Brother Grissom. Hello? I said, whose church is this anyway? This was your church before I got here, and this will be your church or your kids' church when I'm gone. Amen. This is not Pastor Grissom's church. This is your church. Amen. Praise God. And that was real good, Brother Grissom. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for reminding me. Amen. Something needs picking up, pick it up. Something needs fixing, fix it. Amen. Something needs doing, do it. Amen. Praise God. Boy, that was real good. And I think you got the point, so let's go on. Amen. Praise God. But, you know, the primary purpose of ministry is preaching and teaching. Planning and organizing. But we can get so encumbered with details that have to be done that what we should be doing gets put to the side. Amen. And so if that's an appeal for help, that's what it is. Amen. So be it. Praise God. They said, we're going to give ourselves continually to the Word. You know what happened was the church grew. And Gentiles and Jews both were trying to get together. And, you know, it was hard to change generations of traditions and prejudices and all that, and God's putting the church together. Hey, just because you get the Holy Ghost, it doesn't change everything overnight. Hello? Takes time. Takes time. You know why? Because this stuff right here. That's why it takes time. Amen. You have to work at it. And the apostolic church had to work at it. And they said, well, you know, the Greeks are being neglected. They're giving more food to the Jews than they are to the Greeks. And they were about to have a big row over it. And the apostles said, hey, we can't take time from what we're doing to take care of that. We can't start waiting tables. So they selected 7 men and put over that. Called them deacons. So they could give themselves to the Word and the prayer and organization and the planning and the gospel. Amen. And so that was the apostolic pattern. They understood the importance of preaching. God does too. Do you know how faith comes? Isn't that right? Romans chapter 10 verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Let me just say something here tonight. Faith's not always just some miraculous gift that you can just go out and believe God for a brand new car. No, not against that. Not against that at all. Not against that. Amen. Whatever you believe God for is fine. But let me tell you, there's some faith is just you just listen to the Word of God and it gets in your heart and it just helps you to put one foot in front of the other and keep going when it's hard to keep going. That's also faith. Amen. That's also faith. Amen. Praise God. It's not flashy, but it's faith. And preaching is a big part of that. As a matter of fact, and I love this verse, 1 Corinthians 1:21, it says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You want to be saved? He said, we're going to be saved by preaching. And it said it pleased God to do it that way. That's not the preacher's idea. That was God's idea. That wasn't the preacher's plan. That is God's plan. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then that apostolic church understood one thing. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord God of hosts. Amen. Hey, it was a church that believed in the power of the Spirit, in the power of God, in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It doesn't matter how good your preacher is. It doesn't matter how good your singers are. It doesn't matter how good you musicians are. It doesn't matter how good your youth department is. It doesn't matter how good anything else is, friend. If you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost moving, not much is going to happen. You can have a whole church full of joiners, but nothing changes without the Holy Ghost. The only thing that can change the nature of sin is the Holy Ghost. The only thing that can convict a person of sin is the Holy Ghost. The only thing that can deliver a sinner is the Holy Ghost. You can't educate that out. You can't organize that out. You can't entertain that out. You gotta have the Holy Ghost. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And the only way to get that is through the Holy Ghost. Folks, we still gotta have the Holy Ghost. That's gotta be our primary purpose. We still need Him. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus told His disciples to go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Folks, we still got to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. We still got to have the power of God. Nothing is going to happen without that. Amen. It is so absolutely essential that we have that. Amen. Paul said it this way, Romans 15:19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about unto Herennium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest or stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Folks, we still need the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We still need the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't build a church without it. You can build a religious society without it. You can get a crowd without it. I said you can get a crowd without it. Amen. They'll fill up football stadiums and basketball gymnasiums and baseball diamonds, and ain't a drop of Holy Ghost anywhere. You can get a crowd together, even in the name of religion, without having the power of God in sight. But I'm telling you, the apostolic church, you want to build a church. Everybody say church. I'm not interested in building a religious society. We want to build a church. Amen. You can't do that without the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. He's still in the business of building it. If we'll work with Him, He'll do it. Yes, He will. Amen. It takes personal care. Everybody say, I got to care. Yes, sir. You can't build a church without caring. Selfish people will never build a church for Jesus Christ. You've got to be caring, compassionate. You've got to love the lost. You've got to love the weak. Amen. You've got to love people that are different than you. You can't look at people's troubles. You've got to look at their soul. Look beyond their faults, see their need, Amen. Peter wrote it this way, 1 Peter 5, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. He's simply saying, when you find something to do, do it. Be willing to do it. Be willing to do it. Amen. Be willing to do it. Be willing to work for God. Amen. Praise God. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but as examples and samples to the flock. Amen. Don't high-hand anybody. Don't think you're above anybody. Don't think you're great in the kingdom because you have a position in the kingdom. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said it this way. Matthew 20 and 25. Jesus called unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. He said, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus said, my kingdom's not like the kingdom of this world. We don't lord it over people. Amen. We don't. He said we work from the ground up. Amen. We serve one another. We put other people's needs before our needs. Let me say that again. We put other people's needs before our needs. We put other people's needs before our needs. I'm talking about being a Christian tonight. I'm talking about building an apostolic church tonight. If we want to do that, we have to be willing to serve others. You got to be willing to put yourself out for somebody else. You've got to get out of your comfort zone. You've got to be willing to be a servant and understand that I didn't come here to be served, but I'm here to serve others. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Amen. Anybody still interested in having an apostolic church? Pray. Anybody willing to follow these principles? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm almost through. Hang in there. Just stay with me a little bit longer. Amen. Mark chapter 12, verse 31. The second is likened to, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Got to love my neighbor like myself. And then Matthew 7 and 12, he said, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We call that the golden rule. We say, do unto others as you would have others to do unto you. Amen. And then that's just good sense, isn't it? Amen. Treat people right. Respect people. I said respect people. Respect everybody. Respect the children. Respect the young people. Respect the elders. Respect everybody. Every human being is worthy of respect. I said every human being is worthy of respect. And respect the poor. Respect the rich. Amen. Respect everybody. Amen. Praise God. Doesn't matter their culture. Doesn't matter their color. Doesn't matter their language. Doesn't matter their social station. Respect everybody. Jesus did. He respected people. And if we understand that they're all created in His image, we can respect them also. Praise God. Amen. Now, the last thing is personal involvement. Personal involvement. The Bible talks about the fivefold ministry, Ephesians chapter 4. And the reason that God gave us a fivefold ministry, one of those is pastor and evangelist. He said it was for the perfecting of the saints. Anybody perfect here tonight? How long you been in the church anyway? Some of you have been around here quite a while, and you're not perfected yet. So we must not be doing a very good job. There's not one perfect one here tonight. And we've been working on this for many years. Amen. The word perfect here can be, it should be, it has the element of equipping or maturing. Amen. I believe, now there's not anybody perfect here, but I believe there's some people that have certainly matured here. There are some people that you're not a new convert anymore. You're a soldier in the faith now. There are some prayer warriors here. There are some people that when you get stirred up, hell trembles. Because it's heard your prayers before. He wants to keep you asleep if he can. He don't want to stir you up because you know how to pray. And you fought some battles before. Amen. So when we're talking about perfecting the saints, we're talking about the maturing of the saints, the strengthening of the saints, the equipping of the saints. Listen, equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Now, when we talk about ministry, most of the time we think about the preachers. That's not what that's talking about. Every saint of God should have an area of ministry. Praise God. Every saint of God should have an area of ministry. If you're in the church, if you have the Holy Ghost, if you want to be a Christian, you need to have a ministry. There's all kinds of ministries. There's prayer ministries. There's baking ministries. Amen. Praise God. You know what? I wonder what would happen if you just bake some. Anybody here like cookies? Oh, come on. Is that all that likes cookies here? What about all the rest of you? Amen. Praise God. Yeah, you like cookies. Cookies are not hard to bake. Cookies don't cost a whole lot. You know, I wonder what would happen if you just bake cookies and put them in a little bag with a little note and a little invitation to church. And just went around, didn't say a word because you're bashful and shy, and just hung it on people's door in your neighborhood. What could come out of that? Who knows till you try? I'm just saying, there's a lot of areas of ministry that we never even dream of. You know where they're born? In prayer. I'm back to that again. God, use me. Amen. He will. And He'll instruct you when you pray. He'll lead you when you pray. He'll show you when you pray. Amen. All right. Now, Romans 12:4 said, "For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy. According to the proportion of faith or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness." So you see, there's just different gifts in the church, isn't there? There's different gifts in the church. Amen. Praise God. Same thing, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 7. "Now there are diversities of gifts with the same Spirit, differences of administrations with the same Lord, diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." Amen. God put gifts in this church right here. There are gifts sitting on these pews here tonight that God can use to bring revival to this church that God can use to grow this church. Every one of you tonight has a gift. There's not one ungifted person here tonight. Amen. Find out what it is and put it to work. Amen. That's how the apostolic church grew. That's how this church will grow. Praise God. Everybody is involved in some way. Everybody's involved in some way. I've been in meetings before, perhaps you have too, where, you know, the preacher would get all excited and he's preaching about soul winning, and he'd say, "How many of you have won a soul to God this year?" It always gets real quiet. Condemnation falls on the congregation. And everybody feels like a failure. Amen. You know why? But I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot more to soul winning. It's hard to say that one person is responsible for winning a person to God. That's right. It's hard to say that one person. You may have invited them, and they may have come at your invitation. But there's a lot more people involved in that. You may have brought some little children, and they got involved in Sunday school. And Sunday school teachers invested in them. You invested in them. Sunday school teachers invested in them. And in time, they get the Holy Ghost. Amen. So you see, everybody's involved, aren't they? And after people get the Holy Ghost, everybody's involved in keeping them. Praise God. Everybody's involved in keeping them. Everybody's involved in helping them grow and mature. So the soul winning business takes everybody. Takes everybody. Let's stand together. Amen. Praise God. Anybody want an apostolic church? Anybody want to grow an apostolic church? Praise God. I know this is a little lengthy, a little involved, but they're simple principles and they work. I said they work. Amen. We've stole ideas from every other organization. Amen. And some of them have been good and some of them haven't. Some of them worked, some of them didn't. Amen. Praise God. But I want to get with something that'll work. How about you? And let's just put it to work. Does this sound all right to you? Are you willing to help with this tonight? Are you willing to get involved in this tonight? Amen. Let's just get back to the basics. Let's just get back to prayer and planning and preaching and personal care. Persistence. Amen. Personal involvement. Let's just get back to the basics. That's what the early church did. They didn't have any soul winning seminars. They just went out and won souls. They just loved people and won them to God. They just cared about people and loved them until they came. Amen. Praise God. I really want, by the help of God, this is what I've always wanted. This is my dream tonight. I just want a church founded on the rock, Jesus Christ. I just want to be a part of a body that loves Jesus with all of its heart. Amen. Loves Him more than we love anything else. Love Him more than we love ourselves. That's all. I just always want to be part of a body where the Holy Ghost could do what He wanted to do. Without any interference, just move in our midst. And nobody getting a lot of glory, just Jesus. Amen. Nobody worried about who's getting credit, just Jesus. I always want to be a part of a body where you know, the Holy Ghost could just get to moving and we didn't have to call people out and make a big show, but cataracts would just fall off of people's eyes while they were worshiping God. People with infirm limbs could all of a sudden stand up or lift an arthritic arm that they hadn't been able to lift for years above their head. That's what I've always wanted to see. I've always wanted to just be part of a church where we just, somebody's sitting there and all of a sudden the cancer just disappears. Nobody gets the glory but Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Well, I just want to be a part of a church where somebody just comes in just barely making it. Their old back's just in such pain. And all of a sudden, and just maybe it's in a song service, or maybe it's in the middle of the preaching, or maybe it's at the altar time. Doesn't matter. All of a sudden, man, you hear a war whoop let out, and they jump up, and they start running around the building. You believe that can happen? That's an apostolic church. No glory to any man. Just all the glory goes to Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. No human being just orchestrating, but God just doing what He wants to among His body. That's what we want to see. That's an apostolic church. And that's the kind of church I want God to help us to have here in Athens tonight. Amen. Praise God. I think it would be good just as a little sign. I know the hour's late and you need to go. But if you would just come and just to commit just a moment. You don't have to spend a lot of time, but just to tell God tonight, that's the kind of church I want to be. That's the kind of Christian that I want to be. That's the kind of move of God that I want to be a part of. A place where everybody has a place. Everybody has a part. A place where nobody's left out. Amen. Not everybody gets on the platform. Not everybody can sing a song or preach a sermon or teach a lesson. But everybody just finds a gift and says, this is what I want to do and this is what I can do. And I'm going to do it for the Lord. I can bake a cake and take it to somebody that's discouraged and encourage them. I can be moved to pray. I can stop what I'm doing through the day. And God puts somebody on my heart. I can just be a prayer warrior. I can be an intercessor. I can go to the throne with them. Amen. I can make my car a bus to bring some of the little children to church that need Jesus Christ.